This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we'll begin our session, second session on risk.
This is why I was saying that the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain, understood the Quran better than anybody on the face of the earth. And that is why we have the actions of the Sahaba, which were the living proof of their faith and their belief in وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, that your risk is in the heavens. So what did they do? There's a story about, I think it is about Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. Allah alam, I'm not sure about the name, but I think it is Sayyidina, the story is about Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, where somebody owed him some money, and he came and he paid him and he said, instead of money, I will give you a piece of land which I have. So Sayyidina Anas accepted this. Then he sent his servant, he said, go and check out this land, such a place. The man went there and he came and he said, it's a horrible piece of land. It's dry like a bone. There's no water in it. It's all rocky and thorny and whatnot. He says, the rocks and thorns and so on will remove, but what do you do with the water? There's no water. It's dry land, absolutely parched. So what did Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu do? Did he get up and catch the man and fight with him? No. He stood up and made 2 rakat salah. Ajib. You know, there's one of the akabirin of Tabligh, Sayyid Ahmad Khasab rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. He lived all his life and died in Madina and is buried in Baqi. One of Sayyid Ahmad Khasab rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that your salah will never get khushu and khudu until you understand that the problems of your worldly life will be solved by your salah. Worldly life. He said, jab tak tumhari namaz sahi nahi ho sakti, jab tak ke tumhe yakin na ho jaye ki is duniya ke masail tumhare namaz se hal hote hain. Duniya ke masail, aakhirat ki baat nahi, aakhirat to Allah Taala dega inshaAllah. Duniyavi masail, jab tak ke ye cheez nahi seekho. And that's why I always say, what kind of salah is this? If it cannot give me a dry piece of bread in this life, this salah is going to take me across the bridge of Sirat, and this salah is going to get me the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib. I cannot even rely on this salah to give me 2 pieces of dry bread in this life. Hamari ye namaz se hamara koi masala hal nahi hota, humko yakeen hi nahi uske andar. If there is any problem in our lives, how many of us will, first thing we do is we make wudu and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, you know the problem better than I do, but I am telling you as a mark of my ubudiyah to you, as a mark because I am your abd and I am your slave, oh Allah, solve my problem. Before we do anything else. And the same thing, Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib used to say, rahmatullahi alayh, somebody told him, they said, Hazrat, ye dunya to, azbab ki jaga azbab ki hai, ki azbab yahan pe azbab ikhtiyar karna hai, kaam karana hai to azbab ikhtiyar karna hai. So he says, bilkul sahi. Dunya to azbab ki jaga hai. He says, azbab do qisam ke hai. Aala azbab hai aur adna azbab hai. جیسے پہلے اعلیٰ اسباب کو اختیار کرو پھر ادنا اسباب کو کرو. جیسے اعلیٰ اسباب کو چھوڑ کر ادنا اسباب کے پاس جاتا ہے, اس میں کیا عقل مندی ہے؟ Somebody asked مولانا سید بن خاصہ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, they said this world is a world of اسباب, we have to use some means to get things. He said, yes, you're absolutely right, 100%. This world is a world of means, of اسباب. He said, but there are 2 kinds of asbab. There are the ala asbab, the higher means, and there are the adna asbab, the lower means. He said, first, use the higher means, and then if necessary, go to the lower means. To give you an example, and we don't give the examples to illustrate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any example that we can give. But to give an example to illustrate, supposing I know the chief minister, I've got some work to be done in the government, and I know the chief minister personally, And it so happens because I go to the chief minister's house many times, I also know the guard on the gate. His servant is, you know, the chaprasi or the fellow who opens the gate. Now if I want to get some work done, who will ask? The guard on the gate? Supposing I'm talking to the guard on the gate, I'm telling the guard, you know, you tell your boss this, that. The guard will laugh in my face. He says, boss, my boss is your friend. If I want something, I will come to you and tell him, please tell my boss. You are asking me? I am supposed to do things for you? When you know the chief minister personally? Think about that. So says, Anas radiallahu anhu stood up and made 2 rakat salah. And he made dua, and then he told his servant, he said, go back and check out the land. The man went back, he said, Subhanallah. He said, it has rained. And the rain is exactly within the boundary of your land. It's not general rain. He said, it rained on your land. And water has collected. And he said, the rain is in the boundary of your land. Subhanallah, inshaAllah, biznillahi ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it possible and give me the words. If you attend all these lectures, inshaAllah, by the end of this, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it such that the fear of risk, the fear of not getting risk, the anxiety about sustenance will be removed from your hearts forever. Inshallah. You will never again worry about this. Never in your life. As long as you live. Inshallah, make dua. Because only Allah can do this. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the words to say which will make this happen, inshallah. One of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm talking about, afis sama irizqukum wa ma tu'adun. Sustenance is in the heavens. And the sahaba understood this. So one of them came home in the afternoon and he asked his wife, he said, give me something to eat. She said, there's nothing. There's nothing in the house. So he said, all right, he went back. Where did he go? He went to Masjid al-Nabawi. And he stood and he made 2 rakat Salatul Hajj. And he asked Allah and he came back home. And he asked his wife, has anything happened? She said, nothing happened. Same situation, nothing in the house. Now what did he do? He went back to Masjid al-Nabawi. He went back to Masjid al-Nabawi. Made 2 rakat Salah again. I'm talking about people who understood the Quran. The people who learned the meaning of the Quran from the one on whom the Quran was revealed. He went back to Masjid al-Nabawi. He made 2 rakat Salat again. Made dua. Came back. And his wife said, something very strange is happening. He said, what? She said, you know, in Urdu we say chakki. This is the grinder of grain. She said, the grinder is spinning by itself. And flour is coming out of it. She said, it started some while ago, while you were still there. And I filled every utensil that I had in the house. And it is still coming out and there is a heap of flour on the floor. So the sahabi said, show it to me. She took him and she showed him and he sees the grinder spinning and flour coming out. And of course the sahaba are human. And he did what any normal human being will do, which is, he opened it to see how it is happening. He opened it to see how it's happening. So it stopped. Now, imagine, put yourself in that position. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each one of you this experience in your life. that you ask Allah and Allah gives you directly. That you ask Allah and Allah gives you directly. So he ran from there, literally ran to Masjid Nabawi, went to the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, something strange happened to me." And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. There was no food in the house. And I went and made salah. And I came back and there's still no food. I went back and made salah. And this happened. The grinder is spinning and the flour is coming out. And my wife filled everything in the house." So Rasulullah said, "What did you do?" He said, "I opened it to see how it is coming out. So it stopped." Rasulullah said, "If you had not touched that grinder," he said, "if you had not touched that grinder, that grinder would have spun and flour would have come out till the day of judgment." Huh? The Sahaba were very hard working people. They were not lazy people. They were not lazy people. I don't know of any Sahabi who had a pot belly. I don't know of any Sahabi who had flab. I don't know of any Sahabi who had to go jogging in the morning because he had to lose weight. They were very hard working people. They were very hard people, very hardy people. So they did not make salah in Masjid al-Nabawi and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they were lazy to work. They did it because they understood the difference between al-asbabul a'la wal asbabul adna. They knew the difference between the high means, the elevated means, the honorable means, and the lower means. It is obviously not haram. If Allah has made asbab, it is jais for us to use asbab. The question is, which do you use first? The question is, where does the thought go first? If you have a headache, does the thought first go to the one who has the cure? Or does the thought go first to Tylenol? Which one? That is the issue. It is not haram to eat medicine. The question is, which comes first? Which comes first? وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. How many times do we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is the key. That's what I remind myself and I remind you. Let us develop this. Recognize the source. Recognize the source. My Shaykh used to say, I was a little kid at that time. And I remember what he used to say. I will say it like he said it in Urdu and then I will translate it for you. My Shaykh used to say, उनकी आदत थी वो ज़रा ज़बान माशाल्लाह थोड़ी सख्त थी तो यूज़ टू से मियाँ कुत्ते की उतनी अक्ल तो भी रहना तुम्हारे अंदर है बोले कुत्ते की उतनी अक्ल तो भी रहना तो हजरत कुत्ते की उसी अक्ल हमारे नहीं है बोलते बोले कुत्ते को पत्थर मारे तो किसको काटता पत्थर को काटता तुम्हारे को काटता कुत्ते को पत्थर मारे तो किसको काटता पत्थर को काटता है तुम्हारे को काटता बोले कुत्ते को भी मालूम पत्थर कुछ नहीं कर सकता जो पत्थर फेंका उन्हें कर रहा बोले कम से कम कुत्ते की उतनी अकल तो भी रखो दुकान बंद हो गई तो क्या होगा वो कहा है तो क्या होगा ये हो कुत्ते की उतनी अकल भी नहीं बोलते थे कुत्ते को तुम्हारे से बढ़ के अकल है बोलते थे कुत्ता देख रहा फायल हकीकी कौन है कौन असल काम कर रहा कुत्ता देख रहा तुम्हारे को देखने को नहीं आता बोले तुम कुत्ते से बदतर है बोलते थे Literally, this was how we used to say it. Subhanallah, Ajib. Sometimes I think it's a great benefit in saying things in a hard way because that sticks in the mind better than saying it in a soft and nice way. Eh? He used to say, you should have intelligence at least more than a dog.
So we said, why do you say more than a dog? We are less intelligent than. He said, yes, you don't even have the intelligence of a dog. He said, why are you saying that? He said, because if you throw a stone at a dog, who does the dog bite? The stone or you? He said, even a dog has the intelligence to know that a stone by itself can't do anything. That if a stone hits the dog has the intelligence to know that there is somebody who threw that stone. And that is the one I should go and talk to. Not the stone. He said, how come then you worry and you say, if my shop closes down, what will happen to my family? If my business doesn't work, what will happen here? What will happen there? He said, you do not even have the intelligence of a dog. You do not know that that shop and that business and so on cannot do anything by itself. There is a what is called fa'il haqiqi, the one, the real doer who is behind that, who is doing whatever has to be done. He said, how is it you don't even understand that? Wa fis sama'i rizqukum wa ma tu'adun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. Then by the Rabb of the heaven and the earth, this is the truth. What is the truth? That the rizq is on the heavens. Just as it is the truth that you can speak intelligently to another. Example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the example. That if you talk to me, I talk to you, we understand each other. This is truth. Just like that, the fact that our rizq is on the heavens is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, as we go along, we will look at what is sunnatullah, and we look at what is qudratullah, and so on and so forth, inshallah. So there are means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us. But just because there are means by which rizq is provided, if you confuse yourself and think that the means is the one giving the rizq, then this is a lack of iman. This is a lack of iman. So Allah, Musalman agar roti ki fikar kara to usse bada beiman koi nahi. Seriously. If a Muslim is worried about his belly, then there is no one who is worse and no one who is as faithless as him. Roti ki figure o Musalman kare. Worrying about your money and your wealth, and so this for a Muslim? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Wealth is the shoe on my foot. It is the shoe on my foot. It costs 20,000 rupees. And the amama on my head cost me maybe 20 rupees. But I will not put the shoe on my head because it costs more than the amama. Anyone who takes the shoe and puts it on his head and he argues and he says, you know, this amama or the topi costs only 10 rupees and the shoe costs 10,000. So therefore the shoe must be on the head. What did you say? What will you say to him? He said, Alhamdulillah, very true. For you, that is the place for the shoe. Your shoe should be on your head because your head is full of mud. Wealth is the shoe on your foot. It is to be used. It is to be used in order to build the akhirah. It's not to be valued. It's not to be valued. Wealth is not to be valued. Wealth is the shoe on your foot. You leave it outside the door of the masjid. You leave it outside the door of your house. No matter how expensive the shoe is, you won't track it into the masjid. You won't say, I'll pray, I'll come inside the masjid and I will pray because my shoe is worth so much. Wealth is the shoe on your foot. Do you need a shoe? Yes. You don't want to walk around barefoot. We need the shoes. We will buy good shoes. We won't buy torn, horrible shoes or, you know, 10 rupees. No, we will buy a 10,000 rupee shoe. We'll wear the shoe. But we'll wear it on the foot and we'll leave it outside the door of the masjid. Please understand, wealth is not to be valued. wealth is to be used. Today we live in a world where we are taught to value material and use people. The reality is we are supposed to value people and use material. The opposite. We use people. काम पड़ा तो जाते, काम हो गया तो उन्हों कौन की हम कौन की, और समझते हैं कि उन्हें सामने वाला बेवकूफ है, उसको नहीं समझ में आ रहा है कर रहे हो क्या, अजीब है। और चीजों की अहमियत है, मेरी घड़ी मेरा घड़ा वो सब अहमियत, ला हौला वला कुव्वता इल्ला बिल्लाह, जंक ट्रैश, treat it like trash and it will come running behind you. Treat it like trash and it will come running behind you. Treat it as thing which has value and it will make you run behind it. Try catching your shadow. What happens if you try catching your shadow? What happens if you run away from your shadow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also challenges those who do not believe in Islam. And he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them, who is it that feeds them? And they will say that it is Allah who feeds all that exist. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people who worship all sorts of things, who gives you provision from the heavens and the earth? And they will say, Allah. And verily, either we or you are rightly guided or in plain error. Eh? People who are saying that Allah gives, and people who are saying that some things come from other sources, that both can't be right. They're saying either you are right or we are right. And if you seriously think about this, yesterday I had an email from a very good friend of mine who's a Christian in the UK, and we have various discussions on theology. And somebody sent me a note on the issue of Trinity in Christianity, so I sent it to him. And he wrote back and he said, no, actually we believe only in one. And Trinity is a way of explaining that. And he said, just like the Hindus, they also believe only in one. But they worship all these gods because each one is an attribute of the real one. And so on and so on and so on. Right? Now the point is, if that is so, then why do you give the three things of the Trinity individual identities? Why do you say the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost? You don't say the Father is the Son is the Holy Ghost to the Father. You don't say that. So the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost. And to make matters worse, Maryam alayhi salam, you say Mother of God. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. All the Hail Marys that the Catholics say. Oh? So, who is right, who is wrong? Confusion. Confusion because you don't want to recognize the reality, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, and He is the one who created everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has various attributes. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all His attributes. We don't worship the attribute by itself. And in fact and in reality, if there is no real Trinity, and if Trinity really is a way of understanding the One, then how many centuries do you want to understand that One before you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah? Eh? How many centuries do you want? If you want to deny, then you deny. When you make excuses, doesn't mean that there's no denial. We come to the second part. We have no choice in and no control over the quantum of risk. So what do we have control over? In terms of where to obtain our rizq and where to spend it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly differentiated. And I will show you some of the ayats which are the dalail for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly differentiates between desiring things of this world instead of and often at the expense of the akhirah. Now, for example, if you say, I make dua that for anything of this life, you know, whether it's money, whether it's children, whether it is power, authority, whatever. Now, is it haram? If I am working, I have a business and I am building the business and I am spending a lot of time in the building of that business in trying to become wealthy, is this haram? What is the answer? Is it haram? No. It's not haram. What is haram? If you are doing it at the expense of the akhirah, that is haram. Desiring the halal provisions of the dunya is jais. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. So, desiring something of the dunya which is halal is jais, alhamdulillah. What is prohibited is to desire something of the dunya which is haram, number one. Number two, to get so involved in the things of the dunya that you do it at the expense of the akhirah. For example, you are so involved in your business and your meetings and so on and so forth that your salah has gone for a six. Or that your tilawatil Quran has gone for a six. Please understand, do remember, I have mentioned this hadith to you before. The Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, how do we know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted something that we have done? Some good deed that we have done. How do we know whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted this good deed? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will know if that Allah has accepted a good deed if you get the tawfiq to do that same good deed again. If Allah accept my tahajjud, then I will wake up for tahajjud again tomorrow. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts my salah, salatul fajr, then I will pray salatul zuhr. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts my sadaqat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me more opportunities to give more sadaqah. So now what about that I used to pray tahajjud and now my tahajjud is getting missed? Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi once mentioned, and he said that because of a sin that I committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented me from praying tahajjud for 6 months. Punishment. The people who understood Allah, the ulama, they understood that not praying, not getting the time to pray, not having the tawfiq to pray, being too lazy to pray is the beginning of the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have been denied the opportunity of coming into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how people look at things. Hum namaz padhe to Allah pe ehsaan kar rahe samajhte. Bolte bhi log hain. Namaz padh rahe hain, zakat de rahe hain, abhi kya karo bolte. Aap sunay honge ye baat. Allah pe ehsaan kare, do do ehsaan, abhi namaz bhi padh rahe, zakat bhi, abhi kya karna. Subhanallah, ajeeb hai. The arrogance of the human being. He thinks he is doing ihsan on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he is praying. But the people of learning, the people of knowledge, they understood that if you are doing something good, and that's the reason why to do something, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do something even if it is small, but do it regularly and do it continuously. Allah likes the deed which is done repeatedly. So if you find that you used to pray tahajjud and you are not praying tahajjud anymore, wake up.
Become aware, make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you back in the masjid. Otherwise, the beginning of the punishment starts. I'm not saying whether if there is a real reason, you are sick or something, a different matter. I'm not talking about that. If you are sick, you are sick. But I'm saying all things being equal, you are all right, everything is fine, but then suddenly you miss because you used to pray regularly. Similarly, you used to pray salah in the masjid. Now you find that for the last few days, you are not going to the masjid. Why are you not going to masjid? Oh, this happened, that happened, so on. I got this phone call, I got this one, happened this. Some reason, there's always some reason, obviously. Wake up, make tawbah. Ask pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give sadaqah. Seeking the dunya at the expense of the akhirah. That is the dangerous thing. And that is what we are talking about here. The ayat clearly state that we have the power to choose how we want our sustenance and where we want to spend it. And that we can choose it at the expense of our akhirah or as a means of enhancing the value of the akhirah. The ayat also clearly state that though we are free to choose, the choice is not free. Each choice has an outcome. Each choice has a cost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly shown us what those outcomes are likely to be, and therefore choose wisely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man kana yuridu al-ajilata ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha'u liman nuridu thumma ja'alna lahu jahannama yaslaha madhmuman madhura." وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا إن قارون كان من قوم موسى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the ayat of Surah Isra, which I recited first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever wishes for the quick passing, the enjoyment of the world, we readily grant him what we will for whom we like. So whoever seeks enjoyment of the world, Allah will give him. Oh Allah, give me race horses so I can run them in the derby. Sure. How many do you want? Each one is one pit in the Jahannam. So how many do you want? Right? Whatever you seek, Allah will give. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then afterwards we have appointed for him Jahannam. He will burn therein disgraced and rejected. And whoever desires the hereafter, desires the akhirah, and strives for it, sa'yaha, strives for it, with the necessary effort due for it, while he is a believer, then such are the ones whose striving will be appreciated and thanked and rewarded by Allah. Sa'yaha wa fahuwa mu'min. Being a Muslim is critical. Many times people ask this question, what about Mother Teresa? They say, what about her? Where will she go? I have no idea. I'm not the one who makes that decision. No, she worked so hard and she did so many good things. Yes, of course. That is why she was also honored by all the kings and presidents of the world. That's why she got a Nobel Prize. That's why she got this and that and so on and so on. Now if she, before she died, if she accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if she said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, and if she died as a Muslim, then inshaAllah, she will inshaAllah, biiznillahi ta'ala, have the highest station in Jannah. But if he did not die as a Muslim and if she has died believing that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam is God and that his mother, Maryam alayhi salam is mother of God, then she will find on the day of judgment that Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put her in the hellfire forever. Simple as that. Fahuwa mu'min. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, choose, up to you. Whatever you ask will be given to you. So you want to the life of this dunya, transitory, passing enjoyment, ya Allah give me this, ya Allah give me that. Allah will give you whatever you want. And along with that, the price tag is a pit in the hellfire. At the same time, if you want to work for the deen, if you want to work for your akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give you Jannah. Choice is ours. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to make these choices and to ensure that we make the right choices, because my brothers and sisters, the only time that we have to make those choices is here and now. Once this life ends, that's it. Once this life ends, that's it. So let us make those choices while we are still alive and well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a reward for every second that is spent in His remembrance, in His dhikr. Somebody who spends 1 hour will get the reward for 1 hour. Somebody who comes late and spends half an hour will not get the reward for 1 hour. Don't fool yourself. And then ask yourself, that other half hour which you spent instead of the zikr of Allah, if that was better than the zikr of Allah, alhamdulillah for you, no problem. MashaAllah, you are a clever man. Because you chose something which was superior to the zikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah. But if you chose something which was not as good as zikr of Allah, then stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. As I told you, I'm not claiming that this is the only place where the zikr of Allah is done. Maybe you were in another place where you were doing zikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah, all power to you, no problems. But if you were not in another place where zikr of Allah was being done, and you were also not here, then you were obviously in a place where something else was happening. Not necessarily haram. We don't expect that from you. Of course, you're doing something which is halal. But something which is not going to give you the rewards that you would have got had you been here. And understand very clearly that this reward which you lost, you will not get this reward till the day of judgment. This is gone forever. Even tawbah will not give you this reward. Even tawbah will not give you this reward because you were not physically present. While your other brothers and sisters are physically present, you and they are not equal. If Allah makes you equal to them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being unjust to them because they came earlier, they worked harder, they deserve more. How can Allah give you the same? He cannot give you, He will not give you the same. What is gone is gone. Never to come back. And on the day of judgment, half an hour is a big thing. On the day of judgment, for every second of reward that we lose, we will be ready to give and sacrifice every single thing we have. But that will be of no use whatsoever. That second of reward is the difference between one level of Jannah and another level of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. And not just simply to sit and listen and then go away and still do the same old stupid things all over again. No. Bring about change in life. If you don't bring about change in life, then what is the good of knowledge? It's like walking on a dark road with a torch in your hand and you are falling into the pit and you are knocking your head on the stone and you are injured and bruised and you say, why, I can't see, the road is dark, but you have a torch in your hand. Why do you have a torch? Take the torch and hit yourself on the head with it. Because why do you have a torch in the hand if you are not going to use the torch to light your path on the road? Why are you falling in the pit? Please understand this. The knowledge comes to help us. But knowledge will not help us unless we use the knowledge. And obviously not gaining knowledge is not an alternative either. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to get knowledge. I don't know whether anything can be easier than this. Allah has made it so easy for us to get knowledge. All we have to do is to bring our backsides and put them into the chair. That's it. Subhanallah, ajeeb. So may Allah make it easy for us to gain knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to live on that knowledge and to use that knowledge for the benefit of our dunya wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman. We'll take a break and then we'll come back after about 15 minutes or so.